All right, good evening, everyone. Let's stand for our first song. We'll sing number 36, Immortal Invisible. Please stand with me as we sing number 36.
Immortal Invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
Good, you may be seated. Turn over to number 60, Be Still My Soul. Number 60.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves, the winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgotten, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last.
Good. And number 75. O love that will not let me go, number 75.
Of my head, I dare not ask to hide from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be.
Number 107, Fairest Lord Jesus. Sing the first and last verse, first and last of Fairest Lord Jesus.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of
sing number 136, O for a Thousand Tongues, 136.
first to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and weep ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name.
Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, thank you for the time we have again tonight to be here, to be together. Thank you for this church and just all the ministries that go on here, even on today. Just thankful for the teaching and for opportunities for each of us to be encouraged, to be built up in our faith, to learn more of you and your ways. And just thank you for all who serve and minister in this body, and just pray you'll continue to bring forth fruit from that. Thank you for the time we have again tonight to sing and spend time in your word. Would you just minister to us, teach us, encourage our hearts through your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can have faith, but trust is something you do. That's what I want to talk about tonight. That's kind of my thesis, if you will, as we continue this sort of New Year's series, Reflect and Resolve. Part one was kind of the introduction to that, my top 10 lessons for 2018. Part two tonight is faith and trust. And it's just something that I thought about, an observation I've made, and so I want to just kind of share my thoughts with you tonight on this as we enter the new year. What is faith? What does it mean to you to be a believer? Because to me, it seems like we talk all the time in the church about faith. I'm not sure everyone makes the connection between faith and trust. And why would I say that? Because it's apparent to me that not all the people who claim to have faith are actually trusting God or trusting Christ. In fact, I'm a believer. I have faith, and I know I don't trust Him like I should all the time. So what does it mean to have faith, if not that? What does it mean to be a believer, if not that we trust God and we trust Christ? So do you really have faith? Are you truly a believer if you're not actually trusting God with everything in your life? Most people, it seems to me, think of faith in one way and of trust in another, like they're separate things. For instance, we think of faith as believing things, right? Or believing in something. And it can be even very good things and very true things. I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, fully man, fully God. I believe that
salvation is by faith. I have faith that salvation is by faith. But in that sense, faith means I believe certain things are true. Right? And my faith is defined then as the content or the body of what I believe. And in that sense, faith is almost entirely a cognitive, intellectual, doctrinal kind of a thing. For some. For others, it's purely emotional. It's purely subjective. I just believe. I just have faith. We hear that all the time, right? People even given the label of oh, she has strong faith, or he's a person of faith. And what do they mean by that? It could be as nebulous as positive thinking or wishful thinking. I believe. What do you mean? I just think everything's going to work out. There's a reason for everything. I just think eventually good wins out over evil or whatever. And people say that. You got to believe. You got to have faith. And that's all they really mean. You can't give up. You got to think that your luck's going to change at some point. Things are going to get better. Hang in there. Don't lose hope. And so faith is, for many, it seems, nothing more than wishful thinking, positive thinking. And you either have that outlook or you don't. But think of the contrast. Trust, on the other hand, is personal. Trust is practical, right? Trust is active. If you're in the Dominican Republic and first time there and all this is new to you and you don't know what's going on, and a man on the street, a man at the restaurant you're at on a Friday, sells you an island cruise adventure and tells you that he'll pick you up on Sunday at your apartment, and all you give him is a picture on your phone of where that is. And he tells you that if he will give you a discount if you will pay him half of the cost up front right now today, and then he'll collect the rest when he sees you on Sunday. And you give him the money? That's trust. Would you agree? Well, no, you're thinking that's stupid. But for the sake of my argument, that's trust, right? That's also faith. But we don't think of those things the same way, and that's my point. We should. Faith is trust. You can't say you have faith. You have faith in God, faith in Christ, if you don't trust Him. You can't say you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you don't actually trust Him. Him every day, in every situation of your life, to do what He said, to provide what you need, to accomplish His plan and His purposes and His promises in your life. Do you do that? And my concern is, my observation is, in our culture, it seems, in our Christian culture, Christianity has become just another miscellaneous thing some people believe in. Just like some people believe in global warming or climate change, and some people don't. Some people believe same-sex marriage is okay. Some people don't. Some people believe we put a man on the moon. Some people don't. Some people believe Chad Morris will get it done here in Arkansas. Some people don't. And in the same way, with about the same level of personal detachment, indifference, some people believe the facts of the gospel, and some people don't. And that sort of becomes the definition of what it means to be or not be a believer or a Christian. In other words, for many people, being a Christian is nothing more than affirming or accepting the beliefs of Christianity as true. And I think in our culture, this has largely become the case. You are a Christian as opposed to Muslim or Jew or atheist or Buddhist. You are a Christian simply because that's the belief system you believe in. It's not whether you adhere to the teachings of Christianity. It's not whether you actually follow the commands of Christ, but simply that you affirm at least some of them as true, as the best way to explain reality. So that by definition, if you have a Christian worldview, you are a Christian. Do you agree with that? I don't. And here's, to me, a very simple way to demonstrate that. It's simply a matter of changing the wording. Instead of faith and belief, if instead of those words we use the word trust, which is what faith and belief mean, but if we change the word to trust, then you get a whole different perspective, and then you see how it changes how you would define who actually does that and who does not do that. Big difference. To believe in Jesus can mean nothing more than to acknowledge the facts that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and that he's the Savior of all who put their faith in him. But to trust in Jesus means much more than that. It means all that, plus that I also, therefore, live every moment of my life needing him, depending on him, clinging to him, praying to him, waiting for him, longing for him. Big difference. You can have faith, but trust is something you do. And that's my challenge for you tonight, to make sure that you are a true believer. Not simply that you believe in certain things, but that you are actually trusting God, trusting Christ. And not just for your salvation, of course, for that, but also then for everything. Everything. And this is what happens to me, because I catch myself sometimes worrying, questioning, doubting. And so it's been a time for me to stop and say, wait a minute. If you aren't trusting God, are you a believer? Isn't that what it means to be a believer? You trust him. So let's talk about that. What we're really talking about when we say that is living by faith, right? Instead of just saying we have faith, no, we live by faith. Do you do that? Let me give you three simple ways to measure that. All right? Do you really trust God? What's a way to measure that? One, do you do what he says? Right? I mean, that's an obvious thing. If you trust someone, you do what they say. If you don't do what they say, you don't trust them. Do you do what he says? Give to everyone who asks of you. Do you trust Jesus enough to do that? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Do you trust him enough to do that? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you trust him enough to do that? Give to the Lord the first of all your produce. Do you trust him enough to do that? Be in subjection to the governing authorities. Do we trust God enough to do that? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Do you trust God enough to do that? Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing what they produce. Do you trust him enough to do that? Do you really have faith? Do you really believe if you don't trust him enough to do what he says? Turn with me to James chapter 2, and I'll just show you a perspective on this. James chapter 2 is maybe the classic sort of text on this very issue. James 2:14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that kind of faith save him? Well, what do you mean? Illustrate that. Okay, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? What use are those words? What use is that benediction? What good would it do to say that at the end of the service? Go in peace, brethren, be warmed and filled. If you knew there were people who would leave there not able to do that because they're hungry. They need food. They need shelter. Your words would be worthless. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Someone will say, or this is hard to translate, someone may well say, or someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, there's no other way to show it, right? The point is, words are not enough. Words don't prove anything. And this is exactly my point. All these people who claim to have faith, claim to believe, where's the evidence in their life? Faith without works is dead. It's demonstrated by what you do, in other words, not by what you say. So that's the first thing. True faith must be more than saying the right things. Secondly, true faith must be more than believing the right things. Verse 19, you believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? And this is the other side of the point I'm trying to make. So many people that claim to believe, the demons believe, if by that you mean they affirm certain things as true. You affirm monotheism? Is that what you mean by I believe? The demons do that. The demons are doctrinally sound. By the way, the Jews believe this too, and the Muslims, monotheism, God is one. Are they believers in the sense that we would use that term? No. So faith must be more than saying the right things. Faith must be more than believing the right things. In other words, there's such a thing as dead faith. What is that? Words without works. There's such a thing as demonic faith. What is that? Belief without obedience, without submission. So what is true faith then? Well, it's dynamic faith. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Or verse 25, in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? In other words, faith is known by what it does. Not so much by what it says, not so much by what it believes, but what it does. Faith is known by obedience. When you trust God, you do what he says. And if you don't trust God enough to do what he says, you don't have faith. You're not a believer. The same thing is illustrated even more extensively in Hebrews 11. If you want to turn back a few pages to that, that's what all these heroes of the faith are known for in this chapter, this hall of faith. They're here not because of something they said. They're here not because of something they believed. They're here because, every one of them, because of something they did. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up. By faith, verse 7, Noah built an ark. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed and left home, not knowing where he was going. But verse 9, by faith, he lived as an alien in a foreign land. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah conceived. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph gave orders concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith, Moses was hidden. Verse 24, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith, he left Egypt. Verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, they walked around Jericho those seven times doing what God said, even though it seemed ridiculous. Until the walls fell down. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab welcomed the spies. You see the pattern? You get the picture? Actions speak louder than words. What is faith if not trust? What does it mean to believe if not that you trust God enough to do what he says? To take him at his word and believe enough to live accordingly, right? Act accordingly. That's the pattern here. Is that you? Is that true of you? Do you do what he says? A second way to measure real faith, whether your faith is actual trust or not, I think is, do you pray about everything? It seems to me that when you really trust someone, you talk to them, right? You share everything with them. You talk to them about everything. And so in the same way, if you really trust God, you then will talk to him about everything. Your whole life will be this just sort of running conversation with God, prayer constantly. Toward God, if you trust him. Because if you trust him, that means you live every moment of your life aware of your need of him, aware of your dependence upon him, aware of how weak and impotent and hopeless and clueless you are without him. And so your trust in him necessarily takes the shape of prayer. That's what trust inevitably looks like, is this constant life of praying about everything to God. And so to trust is to pray about everything. Do you do that? Do you do that? Philippians chapter 4, that familiar section where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And then verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 is the key, just the contrast there. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. See that? Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. Are you there? Is that true of you? Boy, not me. But that, would you agree? That's faith. That's true faith, truly trusting God. I'm anxious for nothing. I'm praying about everything. And those two things must go together, right? I can't be anxious for nothing unless I'm praying about everything. But to see those two together here just suggests to me that they're both expressions of faith. They're two sides of the same thing. There's something faith doesn't do. There's something faith does do. Faith doesn't worry. Faith prays. And so this becomes a challenge. It challenges me almost constantly, almost every day. I find myself being anxious, right? Worrying about something. What does that mean? Am I a believer or not? Do I trust God or not? Then stop worrying and what? And pray. If I'm worrying, I'm not trusting. And if I'm not trusting, am I truly a believer? You don't have these conversations with yourself? Boy, lucky you. But true faith, again, which is really trust, turns anxiety into prayer. If you truly trust God, the evidence will be seen in how almost naturally and instantaneously and consistently that happens. Anxiety is replaced with prayer. You just don't even hardly become anxious before it just immediately turns to prayer instead, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Would you say that's what characterizes your life, your day, your mental state of mind? Is there just this instant not worrying? How do I do that? By praying. Is that the instant sort of response in your heart to everything that comes along, everything that would otherwise cause anxiety just becomes a cause for prayer because you trust Him? So do you have faith or do you live by faith? Obedience would be one proof. Prayer would be another. Do you do what He says? Do you pray about everything? Thirdly, just a simple idea of do you embrace His values, His objectives, His methods, His ways? When you believe in someone, that's part of what you mean. If I'm an Aggie, if I say I believe in Jimbo Fisher, right? People say that. If I say I believe, boy, did you see that national champion? I believe in that Dabo Sweeney. I don't know what he's got going there, but I believe in that guy. What do you mean by that? If someone says, I believe in Donald Trump, what do they mean? Well, we mean I like how he thinks. I like what he's doing. I like how he operates. I agree with his approach. I like his philosophy, his methods, his values, his agenda. I appreciate and admire his way of doing things, right? He's doing things the right way, I believe his way is the right way or the best way. My point is that not exactly what it means to believe in Jesus? I'm conceding that He is right. His ways are right. His way of doing things is right. I'm on board fully with what He's doing, how He does it, His objectives, His values, His mission, His methods, His ways. I'm for it. I'm all in. But again, that's the thing that concerns me. I'm not sure that's what it means for some people who claim to be Christians or profess to be believers. And I think it becomes a real test. I think it's a test for our children and for the younger generation coming up. It's not a matter of whether they will embrace our values and our objectives and our methods and our ways and our philosophies, but will they embrace His? Will they? It's not a matter of style. Our kids may reject our style. They may reject our brand of Christianity, how we do things, how we do church. That's fine. But do they embrace Christ and who he is and what he stands for and what he teaches and what he's doing? Do they know him well enough to know whether they do or not? So that's the thought I've been mulling over. And so this is my observation. I'll conclude the observation and the resolution, maybe. The observation from 2018 would be this: you cannot have faith without trust. You aren't a believer if you aren't trusting Christ. And the evidence of that would be that you do what he says, you pray about everything, and you truly embrace his values, objectives, methods, mission, ways, everything. That's the observation. So the resolution for 2019 would be this: I will not be content to have faith. I want to live by faith, confidently trusting everything in my life, every single day to Christ. My finances, my future, my family, my career, my retirement, my health. Stop worrying and let your trust be manifest by prayer and putting all of that in God's hands and trusting that he knows what he's doing and his way is right and best. Father, thank you for the time tonight and the time just to think about true faith and what it should look like in our lives. Help us all to really trust you, to be true believers in that sense, not just to have faith, but to live by it. And let it be manifest in the way we just pray about everything. Cast all our cares upon you day in and day out. Let it be evident by the way we obey you. We do what you say. We believe your word enough that we act upon it. We live according to it. Whatever that may cost, however foolish that may look. And then that we would truly embrace the character of Christ, the agenda of Christ, the mission of Christ, the ways of Christ. Thank you for just the commitment to even do that. That's from you. We thank you for that. Bless the year ahead as we continue to grow in our walk with you. And I pray that we would grow strong in faith, giving glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.